outside our church, I just want to talk for 5 minutes about why it's important to pray for Israel. Because if you're like me, like I started out, I just like, I love Jesus. I love revival. I love the nations. I love all of them. I want all of them to be saved, right? That's kind of just like, yeah. And I appreciate Israel. You know, obviously, they're in the Bible and they're awesome. I like Israel. God bless them. But I didn't really grasp the significance. I will say this, the ongoing significance of the land of Israel, the Jewish people, and the city of Jerusalem in God's redemption plan for all the earth. And some people, they may think, like, you know, Jeff, why talk about praying for Israel? I mean, they're at war. It's awful. Yeah, we need to pray for them. But there's, like, bad stuff going on in a lot of places in the world. I mean, in Myanmar, there is civil war, and there's just murders and genocides happening, and that's happening in Somalia. It's happening in Sudan. There's war in the Ukraine. There's on and on and on. You could go on. Like, there's bad things happening everywhere. So track with me. So you could be like, for Myanmar, it's like, I can't think about Israel. I'm just praying, God, bring justice to Myanmar. I care. Lord, take care of Israel. Let there be justice in Israel. But I just want justice in Myanmar. In the place where I'm at that's affecting me, I want there to be a divine breakthrough of justice where the evil and the wickedness stops and the good stuff increases. That, right? And so I want justice in Myanmar. I want justice in Ukraine. I want justice in Somalia and Sudan and, of course, Israel too. But why is Israel so important? Track with me here. The reason why is because, hear this sentence, when the city of Jerusalem gets its breakthrough, God commanded us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Why? Because when peace breaks forth in Jerusalem, the whole earth will get their breakthrough. When Jesus comes back and rules the nations from the city of Jerusalem, the first city on the earth that will experience peace and righteousness and just the manifestation, the full manifestation of the reign of God, the first city on the earth, biblically, will be the city of Jerusalem when Jesus returns. And when he begins to rule from Jerusalem over all the nations, then his rule will spread. World peace starts in Jerusalem and spreads throughout the earth like a fountain, and it will encompass. Then Myanmar will get their breakthrough. That's when Ukraine will really get their ultimate breakthrough. And so when you understand how in the biblical plan, how God has orchestrated this thing, I'll just make this statement. Jerusalem will be the battlefront of the greatest spiritual battle in world history. The city of Jerusalem will become the battlefront for the greatest spiritual battle in world history. Here's why. Because this will be the decisive final battle against the kingdom of darkness that culminates in the return of Jesus and the final victory of the saints over darkness. I'll just end with this illustration and then we'll pray. I'm a Gentile. Jeff, America has enough problems. You should be worrying about your own nation, which is true. But you know what I know biblically? America is not going to get its ultimate breakthrough until Jerusalem does. And God's purposely set it up this way. And here's because he wants us to care about one another and love one another. So he doesn't want us to be self-absorbed. And we all have a tendency to live in our bubble and we care about what's happening in our world. And we're like, oh, I feel bad for those guys over there, but I got my own stuff to worry about. Lord's like, no, I want you to care about them. And here's how we set it up. Imagine that I came up to you, and let's say I'm a wealthy billionaire, right? And I come up to you and say, I like you. You know what? I'm going to make a covenant with you. I am going to give you $5 million a month for the rest of your life just because I love you. I'm going to give it to you. You'll be like, dude, that's amazing. You're awesome. I just think you're incredible. You're going to love me. Yes, I receive that promise. I receive. Yeah, okay, let's make it a covenant. Sure. Let's sign it away. If you want to, right? Yes, okay, I receive. Like, thank you for your promises. You're amazing. But here's a stipulation. But then I say this. I go to your neighbor next to you, and I say, and here's how it's going to work. I like your neighbor too. And I'm going to make a covenant with them. I'm going to give them $10 million a month for the rest of their life. But they have to take $5 million of it and give it to you. And that's how you're going to get your $5 million. All of a sudden, you may not have cared very much about the welfare of your neighbor before. But now, you're like, no, 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 I am contending. You're going to fulfill your promise to my neighbor. Because if you don't fulfill your promise to my neighbor, I don't get your promise fulfilled to me. That is the way the salvation plan for all the earth is set up by the Lord on purpose. When Jerusalem gets their breakthrough, all the nations, Myanmar, Ukraine, all of them get their breakthrough. That's why God says, hey, you need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray for them to get their breakthrough, amen? So I know we keep doing this to you, but can you stand up one more time? And I want to pray for Israel. I encourage you to just, when you first start out, you'd be like, what do I even pray for Israel? Honestly, there's so many scriptures. Like, the whole Bible's about Israel. Like, it's amazing. We take so many of their promises, and we say them, that they were initially given to Israel, and we take them, and we apply them to our life. But they fit really well when you pray them for the guys it was given to originally. Like this one. I pray this over myself for decades. In concerning spiritual warfare, God, I just declare that no weapon formed against me will prosper. Do you know that was a promise given in Isaiah to the nation of Israel? God's like, I'm going to work so that no physical weapon that's formed against you will prosper because the nations are attacking you. How many of you know that fits right now? Just pull that verse out and pray for Israel. So let's pray right now. Father, we declare over Israel. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. God, we just ask, even now, God, we thank you that you're at work there, and we pray, God, that you would commission angelic armies, Father, to do warfare in the heavens over the city of Jerusalem, the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel. And God, we just pray that you would push back the demonic hordes. We ask that you would snuff out every demonic conspiracy, Father, to hinder the Great Commission, to hinder anything that the Holy Spirit would be doing in that region. God, we pray that you would bring forth the peace of Jerusalem. I pray that the hostages would be rescued and miraculously returned, and that you would heal them from their trauma inside and outside, that you would heal them. God, I pray that salvation would go throughout the land, that this moment people would begin to call on the name of the Lord. I pray there'd be a spirit of repentance in the land of Israel, that even secular Jews and different ones, God, would turn from their sin and look to the Lord and be saved. And pray that the church in Israel would just exponentially increase in this season, that you would give them peace, that they would hear your voice, that they would be led by the Spirit, and that you would give them supernatural peace. They would not make foolish decisions in fear, but they would be led by the Lord. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name for your divine protection over the church in Israel. Lord, I pray that no weapon formed against them would prosper. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.
All right, we have the ushers prepared to take up the offering. We just want to welcome all of our James River Church family. This is our Sunday morning service, obviously. And we also want to welcome all of our visitors for the conference. Thank you for being here. Thank you for this has been beautiful. James River Church family, thank you for all that you've done to serve. And we're so appreciative that you've greeted, you've ushered, you've worked registration tables. Some of you hosted people. You've just been so wonderful, so kind, and I'm so proud to be part of this family. All right, ushers, if you could come forward, I'm going to pray over the offering first. I just want to share, we are actually about $5,000 short for this conference. And so right now, I think we should just engage our faith. To be honest, I'm not even slightly concerned, because We've never had such a clear word to do a conference. God is such a great provider. But I think we should engage our faith. I'm asking everyone in the room, let's pray right now. Let's ask the Lord to bring in the provision to tie this up in a sweet little bow at the end, right? All right, so Lord, we love you. And Father, we just thank you, Father, for your leadership. And we say it's perfect. And we bless this offering, and we bless every person who gives, Lord. And we bless all the different ways. We just acknowledge, Lord, we could go fishing tomorrow and find the gold coin in the mouth of a fish. Lord, you are so good at providing. And so, Father, we ask you, bring it in. Open the heavens. If anything's hindering, God, remove every hindrance, Lord. And, Father, bring in the full provision and bless every person, every person, every person. Amen. All right, we have such an amazing blessing this morning. Sally, do you want to be up here or would you like to be down there? Maybe up here? He was just being a smart aleck. He's on the front row. Okay. All right, so let me introduce her. Sally is an Aussie. She's from Australia. Oh, good day, mate. Good day. She's adorable, of course, but that's not her greatest qualities, although it's up there. Sally is a wealth of deep, deep, deepness in Christ. She has been a pastor. She probably spent about 20 years pastoring, missionary for a couple decades or so with YWAM and in and out of Thailand. She actually speaks Thai. That's how much she's been in Thailand. She was an intercessory missionary for years, probably like 7 years, in IHOP KC in Kansas City. She's a life coach. Is there anything she can't do, Tyler? Jackpot. You literally got Proverbs 31. Good job. Wow. Favor. What does it say? He who finds a wife finds a good thing. All the women say amen.
My maiden name is good.
Her maiden name is good. That's good. Sally's good. Also, her and Tyler, what a romance story. They've been married just a year. Congratulations. Yes, of course. Can you guys just give her this huge welcome? We're so grateful. We're so grateful you both are here.
Yeah, thank you so much.
You start out, sweetie.
Okay. Yeah, I just want to thank Autumn and Jeff for having us and for putting this on. And, James River Church, you guys are awesome. And I just want to say, like, I have just really felt the sweet presence of Jesus here. Like, it hasn't felt like a normal conference. Like, I've been to conferences before that felt like a conference. This just feels like fellowship in the body of Christ. And it's just a really sweet impartation of the nations and not only getting to pray for the nations, but praying with the nations. It's such a sweet and beautiful thing. So, and then just Randy's teaching, man, was incredible. I mean, it was so simple and straightforward, and like it just impacted me in such a way. I'm like, you know, what has the Great Commission done for me in my life so far, and then how's it going to impact me going forward? You know, so it's just been a time of just examining my heart, seeing what I can lay down and like, what am I holding back? Like that's the biggest question I think I'm having is is there anything that I'm holding back or that I'm afraid of from like really giving it my all? So just a few thoughts. It's been great to really fellowship with you guys and just experience the Lord with you. So amen.
Good. Isn't he so cute? Hot stuff. I call him hot stuff in my phone. Hot stuff hubs. Thank you, Jeff and Autumn, for having us and for putting this on. I'm a little bit put off by how high I am, but I'm just going to get used to it. Can I come down? Okay. Is that all right? I know I'm short. Is that okay? Okay, It's just I can't see people back there, these faces. Hello. Okay, you can see me. I like to be with the people, you know what I mean? Feel a little bit more connected. Just want to repeat a couple of things. Just so want to honor the mans for their leadership. Autumn has become such a great friend over the past year or so. Just getting the inside scoop on this woman's dream life, prayer life, just the way that she seeks to lead you people. She is truly a Jeremiah 3:15 kind of shepherd. You know what I mean? It says, it's true. Let's really clap. It's true. They both are. Jeremiah 3:15, I'll give you shepherds after my heart, right? Who will feed the people with knowledge and understanding. And you guys get a shepherd, shepherds in your midst who quake and shake under the presence of God and who seek to give a word that has been cooked in his presence, like bread baked in an oven. And so I just really, there's few leaders like these guys. So in the middle of, well, for me, it feels like the middle of nowhere here on South Dakota. In the middle of nowhere, no, just kidding. You have this body of people, you guys, who are coming together, gathering the generals from like age 2 or 1, little Roger, right? Ah, Winter, thank you for having us yesterday with the kids, with the youth guys. That was unbelievable how focused people were. It was incredible. I love young people, and I was just so grateful that we got to do that. And just want to honor the YWAM team, too. I know we've mentioned their names a few times. Ethan, Kylie, and where are my other people? Oh, yeah, that's right. Izzy, Deanna, Mark, and Jess, wherever she's at. You guys brought leadership yesterday that really actually delivered my heart. When you guys were singing that song about, I'll take you at your word, where is that song from, first of all? Cody Carnes? Is it? Okay, Cody Carnes. All right. So there's a song that they sang yesterday. It's got this really cool little melody piece, little piano piece that you were just rocking, Izzy, yesterday. And it's talking about taking God at his word. And I am literally standing there, and it's just like, I'll take you at your word, over and over and over again with different things. And I felt God reach into my gut and strip me of unbelief on a whole new level. I was just like, God, what are you doing? I'm shaking, kind of, I'm crying as they're singing. And it's like kind of this fun kind of song, you know. Jess is booming, Kylie's booming. They're just ascending, and I'm feeling delivered in the presence of God. And so I just feel so grateful. We just came for that, and now we can go home. No, just kidding. So I have just felt like there's been such a transaction this weekend, because God always does stuff when people meet together. Like, I think about the Heckles. I met Ellie, is that right, your wife's name, last year at the ladies' conference, and I'm like, she's my people. And then you guys get up there, and you are just ascending the hill. I have not been in that kind of pure-hearted, like devotion to Jesus. Those songs, it was just straight up oil from the heavens. And then yesterday in the youth thing, Kennedy, man, she gets up and she leads these kids in this prophetic dance. And I don't even know what the song was, but I thought either God's coming down or we're going up or something's going to happen. Because she goes, oh, there's some kind of, I think Winter said, there's a prophetic word kind of around this, but we're just going to do it, you know. So these kids get up. Like, we've got to know, you guys, that God takes the foolish things, the things that look so incredibly weak, right? Like that move or whatever the heck you guys did, and he uses our weak faith. Our simply showing up to church and saying, yes, God, you're worthy. And he uses it to deliver people groups and to bring them to the knowledge of the Son. Don't think that you've got to be some crazy shouting Australian or some prophetical kitten lady like Autumn. Like, don't let the enemy fool you into thinking that you've got to be like us. You've got to be like you and wrap yourself around the mission of God. That's all it is. As you've noticed, me and my husband could not be more different. He's as chill and as smooth as like silk chocolate. You know what I'm saying? Ooh, I like that. Just kidding. That sounded wrong, but I wasn't going anywhere bad. All I'm saying is like, I'm like, pew, and he's like the beautiful commitment of kindness and the kindness and gentleness of God, right? And so he knows that he's not me and I'm not him, and that's the only way it's going to work. And so in the body, in this moment, we've heard from Randy who laid it out. Laid it out where he spoke firstly about the book of Mark, and he said that Jesus spoke of a woman of extravagant worship, right? She was the one who, against all odds, took all that she had and broke it before the Son of God. And it was so astonishing and so precious that Jesus himself said, everywhere the gospel is preached, this story is going to be shared. He was talking about the centrality and the necessity of worship in the midst of the missions movement to the ends of the earth. You know, John Piper has that really, really famous quote, right? John Piper's an incredible teacher out of, where is he from? Minnesota? Minnesota, yeah, up in this region. Yeah, five-state region, baby. And he says this, you know, missions exist because worship doesn't. Right, missions isn't ultimate. We're not just, this isn't about God calling you to something just for something. You know, Moses didn't go before Pharaoh and just say, free the people. Oh no, freedom for the sake of worship every single time. Right, this is what this story is about. He released a word and he said, this word is over the upper Midwest, the five-state region. The Father is building pipelines to carry people. Who's that? If you've got a beating heart in your chest, that's got to be you, right? People and resources, people and provision in the direction of Jesus' inheritance. That is so powerful. That we get to be a part of going after the full reward of Jesus. He brought us into that Trinitarian conversation. Psalm 2. Right? Where somehow we get a glimpse. I mean, it's one of my favorite scriptures because it's almost like a secret of God just laid there. Like where the Father is speaking to the Son in the midst of chaos as the earth is shaking their fists against him. He's saying, oh, I have my Son already set on a holy hill and he will rule and he will reign. And he says, Son, ask of me and I will give you the nations as your inheritance and the ends of the earth as your possession. That is incredible, you guys. And so he started to talk to us about what it means to go after that inheritance. What does that mean? He mentioned a really interesting point, which was some of us haven't even thought about that before. That Jesus has an inheritance that he's waiting for. I love that $10 million analogy. Dude, wasn't that good? Let's think about it. You didn't really care about that dude until your inheritance was linked to theirs. Now all of a sudden you care about that dude. You care about those people because we're in a story that didn't start with us. It started with a Jewish man and Jewish people. And we've been grafted in. We've been shoved into the story by the way of Christ. And so we're beginning to see in this conference and over the years, I know this is Autumn's and Jeff's burning heart that Jesus would receive the reward from the upper Midwest of his suffering. That we would see people from your region actually be sent to the ends of the earth to go after everything that Jesus is worth. I just love Isaiah 42. He took us through Isaiah 42. I want to encourage you guys, get in there and eat Isaiah 42 like bread, like a really good meal. There is so much in this regarding the Great Commission, regarding where this whole thing is going. For me, my heart started to light up on fire when I realized, first of all, that the Old Testament and the New Testament was all the one story, right? when God began to unpack and pull back the curtain and begin to show me from the beginning to the end is one story, right? One story. The lamb that was slain before what? The foundations of the world. Then John the Baptist shows up and there isn't an animal walking toward him. There's a man walking toward him. And he cries out and he says, "Behold, that lamb that was, that is, that will be, that lamb is in your midst." That lamb. And then we fast forward, which is what we're going to look at today, to the book of Revelation, where the song of the bloodied lamb is being sung forever and ever and ever and ever. Do you see the story that we've been brought into? Story of the Lamb of God from the beginning to the end. I just wanted to read, before we go there, just a little bit. I was just really moved by Randy's message around Isaiah 42. And before we go there, because it's all linked together, okay? It begins out, if you want to turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 42. He started to move through this, and it so struck me. It says in verse 3, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoking flax, that tiny little end of the ember, he won't snuff out. But instead he'll surround it with his presence, and with a commitment of tenderness and love, breathe that flax back to become a flame." This is the restorative power of Jesus. And this restorative power becomes a song that people groups, tribes, nations begin to sing of the Lamb. I don't know if you guys have ever run through like reeds or run through that really high grass. I mean, it's very easy just to break. You're bolting through it. I mean, these little reeds are so weak, right? It's like you're just thrashing through it. He's speaking of the weakest, tender little shoot that we are, where with one of a finger, our little reed gets broken. But Jesus comes in his mercy, grace, and power, wraps himself around the weak ones, and loves them into resurrection life with his own broken body and shed blood. This is the message of the gospel. And today, some of you guys get to make a decision, maybe the first time or the 500th time, before you get sent out, that I am actually going to believe in that Lamb of God. I am actually going to put my faith in the Savior Jesus Christ. I recognize that he has a controversy with mankind, that nothing about us can make our way back to the Father. We're screwed over without Jesus, right? I mean, sorry to say it. We really are. We're not cool enough. We're not dressed well enough. We're not like kind of awesome enough. Nothing about us can satisfy the wrath of a holy God but the blood of a lamb. And that is our story. And so he took us through Isaiah 42 and he talked about this beautiful redemption that Jesus comes to people and he redeems them. Excuse me, I'm starting to lose my voice. I yelled a lot. He redeems them, and as he's wrapping himself around them, a new song of agreement begins to come out. Isn't that powerful? And it's like, I don't know who said it, but like, I think it was you or somebody said, you know, when we get to heaven, nobody's going to have to teach us what to do or how to worship, right? We're built to worship. We're absolutely hardwired for worship. Sometimes we're not totally attuned to what we're supposed to worship. But if anyone's been to a ball game or anyone's been to any kind of sport, no one walks up to you and goes, "Excuse me, but they kicked a goal right now. Can you like put your hands up and like wave them around?" Like, no one teaches you to do that. There is something hardwired on the inside. I know, because my husband will watch, oh, right? That's what, oh, it comes out. It comes out of you. You just see it and you respond. So at the heart of this gathering the generals is that we would see something of his worth, that we would receive something of his covering, surrounding power, that it would resurrect us and bring forth a new song and a new sound. You know, there was a dream, I think Stanley had it at the back, and Autumn was sharing it with me, relative to this conference. And it was all about the fact that God wanted to release a second wave of missionaries from the upper Midwest that would be marked by that kind of, I'm going to give it all, like widow's mite kind of thing, right? Like Mary of Bethany kind of thing. It's like taking whatever you've got, the tiny little bit that you've got, casting it before him. So often the enemy comes to bring shame over the little that we have. Again, you look at, you can, the danger of a conference sometimes is that you look at the people speaking, ministering or whatever, and you're like, that Aussie chick, she can just go do it. I'm good over here, you know what I mean? I got nothing. But that's absolutely a lie. God comes to regular people and says, hey, come on. Jump in. Let's go. Oh, let's go. There is so much to do. Right? The song of the Lamb. You get caught up in the song of the Lamb. And so what struck me as Rani was speaking was that as God begins to touch you, as God begins to redeem you, as he begins to sanctify you, as he begins to squish you and mold you into what his son looks like, something comes out of you, okay? It's like a, he didn't say this, but I was thinking, it's kind of like that sort of groan of agreement or that song of agreement. It's like sometimes we come to church and people on the stage will be like, come on, sing. Come on, worship, right? But the song and the worship is a response of how you've been touched. It's an agreement with his holiness. The Psalms say to sing with understanding. Okay, so as we begin to understand his sacrifice, the profundity of a broken man, the perfect man, the slain lamb, a new song begins to come out of us. The song can literally look like emptying the dishwasher without being asked, kids. It can literally look like help, right? It's not just a holy moment in church. The song of agreement can look like, you know what? I'm going to get off my phone for 10 minutes and I'm going to start to look at Jesus and say, hi, God, it's me, Sal. I really like you and I'm so glad that you made me. It really looks like the song of agreement, right? Looks like coming out of agreement with all the things that stop you from going, giving, praying, all those things. And so the song of agreement becomes like the warfare. Okay, we've got to get into it. All right, I'm getting too excited. All right, everyone, Revelation 5. You all know this scripture. Revelation 5. I'm just reminded, like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen, like, sappy movies. And there'll be, like, this line in the movie where, like, you know, the main character will go through a really difficult time and someone will say to that character, you used to sing all the time, you know, and now that character's not singing. Like, the song is something that comes out of a free heart. Do you know what I'm saying? And so often we lose our song, we lose our response because we get out of alignment with the Lamb. And so nothing really comes out, right? Something comes out when you're actually engaging with the truth. Okay, so Revelation 5. that was a random point, but I'm just realizing, like, those movies are kind of true in that way. It's like, oh, you lost your song, you know. Anyway, okay. The Lamb opens the scroll. Father, would you just come and would you right now just do something as we read these scriptures in our hearts that is lasting. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful. It's like a hammer. Your word is like a sword that divides between soul and spirit, exposing the motives of the heart. So we're asking that would you cut us open, look at us on the inside, search us and know us. And as you're doing it, I'm seeing he's like breaking open, like breaking open the soil of your heart, and he's coming and he's kind of thrashing a hook in there and breaking it up, and then he's pressing some seeds in there. He's been doing that this weekend, so we invite you to do it. Okay, then I saw a scroll in the right hand of the one who was sitting on the throne. Who's sitting on the throne? Not Jesus, the Father. So the Father is holding a scroll. There was writing on the inside and the outside of the scroll, and it's sealed with seven seals. All right, this is a kind of a gnarly picture, but it's so powerful. So sometimes what we get to do in church, this is like a little really cool key, because I know this is the way that Autumn preaches a lot. She comes with like the Spirit of God and a word about kittens or something, and you're not all the way following all the time. It doesn't matter. Let me teach you a really big secret. When I'm in church, I put my hand on my belly and I say, Sally Adams, you're going to receive the word today. You don't have to all the way understand it. Some of you are like, okay, cool. I don't really care about Revelation. That's wonderful. Others of you are like, let's get in here. But it doesn't matter. Your spirit is catching the spoken word of God. Your spirit man is hearing it, okay? So just know that you don't have to understand everything right in the moment. Just be in agreement. I'm going to receive this. Okay. And I saw a strong angel who shouted with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to break the seals on the scroll and open it?" But no one in heaven, on earth, or under the earth was able to open the scroll and read it. Then I began to weep bitterly, just like Roger. Aw, poor baby. Happy birthday. Okay. Then I began to weep bitterly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll and read it. But one of the 24 elders said to me, "We're locked in. Stop weeping. Look, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the heir to David's throne, has won the victory. He is worthy to open the scroll and its seven seals. He is worthy." The word over you today is stop weeping. He is worthy. Stop weeping. He is worthy. Okay, we can weep when we're touched by God, but I don't mean that kind of weeping. I mean the hopelessness, despairing kind of weeping when you can't see and everything's dark and you don't know the way forward. He's like, he is worthy. Ah, it's so good. All right. Then I saw a lamb. The lamb enters the scene. That looked as if it had been slaughtered, but it was now standing between the throne and the four living creatures and among the 24 elders. We have the Father on the throne. We have the four living creatures. We have the 24 elders. And then we have the lamb. He doesn't look like just any old lamb. He's got horns and eyes. He's really crazy looking. He is out there. He is that rule and reigning lamb right now. And it says, which represent the sevenfold spirit of God that is sent into every part of the earth. He stepped forward and took the scroll from the right hand of the one sitting on the throne. And when he took the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders hit the deck before the Lamb. And one had a harp, and they held gold bowls with incense, which are the prayers of God's people. And they sang a new song. These are the words. Autumn, why don't you come up here and read that first bit, like this little bit, that first bit.
You are worthy to take the scroll and break its seals and open it. For you were slaughtered, and your blood has ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have caused them to become a kingdom of priests for our God, and they will reign on the earth.
Amen. Okay, Tyler, jump up. Then I looked again and I heard the voices of thousands and millions of angels around the throne and of the living beings and the elders, and they sang in a mighty chorus. Come on up. Sing. No, you don't have to sing. But just say the mighty chorus.
Sorry, where are we at?
Just read it from here.
Worthy is the Lamb who was slaughtered to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing.
Come on. And then, stay here, you can read the next bit. I heard every creature in heaven. So we've got the angels who are singing. We've got the elders who are singing. Then we've got every creature on the earth. In heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea. The little fishies are even singing a song. The kittens, the five kittens. What the heck? It's so weird. I love the poetry of God. Like, do we get it? Everybody is responding. Everybody is responding. Let this give a vision for where we're going. Let this undo us on the inside and push us into the unreached. Push us into our neighborhoods. Push us into holiness with God. Let this song and this vision surge us forward. So what do they say again at the end?
Blessing and honor and glory and power belong to the one sitting on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever.
Amen. Thank you, sweetie. And the four living beings said, amen. Right? And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped the Lamb. They worshipped the Lamb. The centerpiece of worship in heaven will be the display of the glory of God's grace in a slaughtered lamb. Forever and ever and ever and ever, we're singing that song. That song of the Lamb. This is the vision for the end of the story. It makes that lamb slain before the foundations of the earth. It makes John the Baptist's proclamation in John make sense. Because that lamb is at the center of the throne. And forever and ever and ever, we will be singing a bloodied song. How bizarre is that? How incredible is that? Right? It says that angels want to look into this. They've never had anybody die for them or shed blood for them. Angels are curious, who stand before the throne day and night. They want to look into the glory of the slaughtered lamb. That's profound. That is so profound. Ah, little babies. The slaughtered lamb, Jesus Christ, is at the center of our entire biblical narrative. The whole story is about this lamb. The whole story from beginning to the end. Right, yesterday I got to hang out with the youth. They're incredible. And I told them from the start, I'm about to preach you a really boring message, but I don't care. Because the reality is where we're going on the earth. This is not about being entertained. The only truth that we have that doesn't change is in this word. The only thing, so I would be remiss if I just tried to come and inspire you. This is not about inspiration. This is about the declaration of the Son through Scripture. And when we begin to hear His words, we get to actually respond to the tangibility of truth. And that is what the earth needs. That was so fascinating last night when Randy spoke about this whole idea that Paul is inviting us into, right? Ephesians 1, 17 through 19. Father of glory, open the eyes of my understanding that I would know the hope of my calling,
the glorious riches of your inheritance in me and the exceeding power that you have toward me as I believe in you. But everything about the American dream, everything about the spirit of the age is that we would know our calling, our inheritance, and our power. So everything about this lamb, everything about his song is about laying all that you have down before his altar. All that you have. And so some people in here, young people, I want to really provoke you. Understand that the enemy is after your future, right? He wants you to like just be either show up at church and just be like, meh. Or he just wants you to get so wrapped up in darkness that the song dies on the inside, that there's nothing much there. And yet, what if God had a different story, right? We're learning that you guys have something to do. You got a role to play, right? A very, very, very important role to play. So we say, behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He was slaughtered before its foundation. John 1, behold the Lamb. Let's look at him. Father, right now, just all over the room, I am asking that you would open eyes to see the worth of the sacrifice of Jesus. I'm asking God, make this centralized truth of your word that you were looking across the earth. And you found nobody, so your own arm was extended and your own arm brought forth salvation. God, I'm asking, send the Spirit upon hearts in this room to wake up to the reality of the gospel of Christ in Jesus' name. You come every week, some of you, you hear beautiful messages, but you sit on the sideline and you discount yourself from this story because of all of these different lies that you're believing about who you are and who God is. Yet as I said yesterday with the youth, I want to speak this over you. Let this cry rise up in you. Why not me? Why not today? The really simple pivot. Let it happen. Let it happen, God, all over this room. Even now, as we're thinking about the song of the Lamb. So this whole gathering the generals thing, from what I understand, is about three things. It's about praying, giving, and going, right? And so what can we learn from Revelation 5 about these three things relative to the missions movement? What can we learn about from the song of the Lamb and the scene in heaven? What can we learn from that as we think about praying, as we think about giving, and as we think about going? Not in 20 years, but soon, right? Don't wait until you're old to jump in. I found it really interesting when I moved to America and I was doing some traveling and I came to Colorado and there was like all of these buses that came in. I think I was at Estes Park or something and they were filled with people in their 70s and 80s. And I was like, what are these buses? I just moved to America. And they were like, oh, Americans don't really travel that much. They just wait until they're kind of really much older. And then they like cash out on their retirement. And they do all these tours. That's what they do. Now, I don't know if that's true or not. But it just made me sad. I was like, don't wait. Don't wait until you're later in years. Enter into the labor for the gospel now. Right? Let's go. Okay, so prayer. What do we see? We see that at the center of this, there is a harp and a bowl. Right? We know about this, don't we? We know about the harp and the bowl, right? It makes me think of Psalm 22, verse 3. It says that God is enthroned, or there is a chair built for him in the midst of what? The praises of his people. Okay? So as we praise and as we worship, we're literally building a chair, right? Like this. If you can imagine, when we're singing and we're praising Jesus, we're literally, we've got the tools of the harp, which is our song. We've got the tools of the bowl, which is our prayers. And it's this picture that we've got a tool belt on with a bowl and a harp in our tool belt. And they are the tools that build God a throne where he comes and sits, right? And so that's what we get to do as a people, in secret and in public. We get to recognize that we, though we offer our prayers in weakness to God, they ascend before him in power and he answers them. Yesterday, Jeff, I think in the luncheon, said one very practical thing that you can start doing to start to pray is to pick a people group that is on your heart and to pray for them by name every day, right? It's powerful. Wherever we start to pray, whatever we start to pray for, our heart moves towards. Whatever we're looking at, we move towards. So it's really effective. We all have phones. So something I do is I set an alarm on my phone several times a day for all different kinds of things, right? We all need help. Use technology to help you, okay? So take your phone and set an alarm, and maybe it's, I used to have an alarm on my phone at 3:20, Ephesians 3:20. I'll do exceedingly abundantly beyond what you ask or imagine according to my power, okay? So, and I would just have a people group up on my phone and I would pray for them all the time, and God began to give me a heart. Right? He begins to give me not a heart, he begins to give me his heart, right? As we pray, it's so simple. You guys know this, but I'm just being reminded it's all in Revelation 5. So what my heart today is that it would kind of feel like a collaborative moment where God is bringing together Friday night, Saturday, like all day Saturday and today, to come down to one thing of what next, right? What do we do with all of these jewels that have been given to us? And I want you to be anchored in the word. So remember Isaiah 42. Remember Revelation 5. Remember these things. Look at them. Meditate upon them, okay? What else was I going to say? Oh, yeah. So Jeff mentioned that, something that there's an incredible app, and we know this app, called the Joshua Project, joshuaproject.org, and this particular organization has basically will email you every single day of the year. I'd just like to say today, it is the Buli Day people from Indonesia. They're the unreached people group of today. And so in Jesus' name, we are asking you for the Buli Day people in Indonesia. We ask you that you would touch them with the shed blood of the Lamb. We ask you that you would raise up laborers that would go into this Muslim country, that would go into this animist people and share the gospel of Jesus. That is what praying for the nations can look like. Sometimes you'll have many hours of Hunda Shunda Bunda moments. Other times you'll have a few minutes where you begin to pray for a people. Do not underestimate the power of you praying. Our little church, we do this thing. We've been thinking about Reese Howes recently. Some of you guys know about Reese Howes. Reese Howes was a man from UK. Yay, let's go easy, right? From the Commonwealth. And he was alive during the wars, right, both First World War and Second World War. In the Second World War, he gathered a company of young people who would cry out for God to move within the war. He began to get specific and informed prayers that he would offer back to God that were powerful to push back war and to bring about victory. What we need to understand right now is that God can take us from dear God save the people, which is great, to informed, to specific prayers. Something that that we're doing right now as a church is this thing called Dream Stream. It's incredible. Because guess what? Acts 2 says that we're going to have dreams. And so something that we're doing right now, me and my husband, every week for the past couple of weeks, we've had our living room filled with Taiwanese and Chinese people. It's been amazing. And guess what we're doing? These Chinese and Taiwanese people are starting to get dreams about Taiwan and China and what God wants to do to keep Taiwan open for the proclamation of the gospel to the ends of the earth. What dreams do is they give specific details that you can then offer back to God. So you get to ask God for that. That's what this song reveals to us, is that we can ask for dreams. So we're going to ask for dreams. Hold out your hands. Jesus, we're coming to you right now in faith, believing that we are the people of Joel 2 and Acts 2, that in your last days you will pour out your spirit on sons and daughters. They will prophesy, old men will have visions, young men will dream dreams, and you will reveal yourself to all. And so right now we're asking for dreams over the kids even. God, I ask that kids would have dreams of Jesus, that they would have very specific dreams about this region, about what you're wanting to do. Autumn, why don't you stand up, because you are one of the strongest dreamers I've ever known. I get to hear her dreams. Just pray that over the room, because you carry an authority in the dream space.
All right, just extend your hands to the Lord if you want to start hearing him in the night. God, I pray that you just break unbelief off of your people right now. And carnal thinking that you have to speak like we speak. God, we just declare, we come into agreement that you have a language, you have a way that you talk. And Lord, we come into agreement with the language of heaven right now. And Lord, we ask God that spiritual understanding will be opened to us as a company of people, that we would hear you in the day and we'd hear you in the night. Lord, open it up, God. We ask for portals like Jacob's ladders to be like over us as we sleep. Angels ascending and descending, Lord. We ask for a spirit of worship to even rest on our spirit man, to be in worship as we sleep. We'd wake up refreshed knowing we were at your feet in the throne room, at the throne of grace, Lord. God, we ask, Father, for divine direction, Lord. Father, how do we pray for lost family members? What needs to happen? What do we need to come into agreement for? Lord, we ask you to release it over us, Father, in dreams, in visions, in understanding right now, Lord. Thank you, Father. And God, we just declare that every nightmare ceases right now. All torment in the night, we take authority over torment. And tormenting spirits. We say, release the peace of God, the shalom of the Lord over your people right now, Lord. Break generational curses and witchcraft and all kinds of things coming down through the bloodline. We place the cross right there. Thank you, Father. And God, we thank you. We don't ever have to move into divination. We don't have to move into New Age. We don't move into the things of the world, the dirty waters of the world. We just look at the Spirit. We look at you, Jesus. We drink from the clean water. Thank you, Lord. Whoa, amen.
Amen. Amen. I just really want to encourage you guys to just know that the more that you take your dream seriously with Jesus, the more that he gives you. And so I just really want to encourage you, like, we've all got our phones by our beds, right? I mean, most of us do. Most of us wish we were, like, completely delivered, but we have it because we use it for our alarm clock. And so some of you are going to wake up even tonight, just want to seed the room with faith, that this is not just some, like, cute little gathering. God is, like, doing stuff. We had a hook hit our vehicle on the way here. Like, it's real what's going on. Do you know what I mean? Like, this is actually real. It's tangible. And so God's kingdom is really set up around stewardship, which means that we don't own stuff. We just get to care for stuff. And so when God gives you something, right, he often says, if I give you little and you care for it, what? I'll give you more. And so that works in the dream space. So I've just noticed that my husband he's got this little book. It's really cool. And he's a dreamer. But as I've been like kicking his butt, like, hey, sweetie, did you write it down? Hey, sweetie. He's been writing these dreams down. You better believe it. He's been getting more dreams, right? Specific dreams that unlock the language of the heart to connect with God. It's not dreams for dream's sake. It's dreams for intimacy and fruitfulness every time. So every time he gives you a dream, you go, what is it about? He's like, oh, I love it. He's not just about the dreams. He's about the conversation from the dreams, right? He's about the conversation that then provokes the action from the dream. Everything he pours out. Just like we were talking about last night, Randy was saying that sometimes Holy Spirit, you know, doesn't really want to kind of come to some churches because they're crying out for Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was given to empower the proclamation of the word to the ends of the earth. When the Spirit sees that that word's not going out, well, it's all linked together, right? So the dreams are for the proclamation and the intimacy with Jesus every time. I just really feel this on dreams right now. I just really feel the Lord on it. I just want to create just a moment just to, I feel like the Lord's speaking to you and just about, you've disqualified yourself or you feel ashamed or you just kind of discount stuff and you think that makes no sense or that's strange or it's kind of kooky like Five Kitten vibes, you know, it's a little weird. And the Lord's like, just meet me there. Just don't discount the crazy. Don't discount the strange. I want to speak to you. I want to connect you with my holiness and my creativity. And I want to unlock people groups through dreams to you. What we saw happen last night with some of our Korean brothers and sisters was from a dream. It's a dream that Autumn had about the elephant or the guard to the temple of Buddhism. She received the dream. She's then